Glory to God. Hallelujah indeed. Well, let's get into some good stuff. Y'all ready for some good stuff? No, I mean really. Are you ready for some good stuff? All right, well, let's look at it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and actually 17 and 18 is where we're going to begin. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Someone say, I've been made new. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Oh, Lord. So we're talking about, starting this series here, Made New, that Easter changes everything. Well, what's the significance of Easter? Because Jesus lived. Jesus now was scourged, beaten, crucified, and put to death. But then on that Sunday morning, resurrection day that people will call Easter, he got up with all power and authority in his hands. And now that one act, that one event has changed all of history. And listen, regardless of what your background is, there is no other thing or person or entity on the planet that can make the same claim as Jesus and have the historical evidence to back it up. So a lot of times people will try to trick you into believing that, well, that's just a Bible story. No, there were eyewitness testimony. There is empirical evidence to show that he now rose from the grave. And that changed everything. And Paul looked at the situation. It says, now when you come to faith in Christ, it makes you new. It changes everything in your life. Now watch this. You have to understand the context of what is going on in the days that Jesus performed this miraculous event in raising from the grave. He's living during a time where people are into themselves. You know, everyone wants their own particular pleasures, you know, fulfilled. There are so many, you know, options of religious, you know, activity that individuals were following. There were, you know, kind of militant groups that were going on that were trying to rise up against, you know, injustices. There was great, you know, expressions of intellectualism, you know, as individuals were really just kind of tapping into the sense of knowledge, you know, in the earth. And then Jesus steps in and he lives. He dies. And he raises us from the grave. And it changed everything. And interesting enough, that context that I just described to you sounds a lot like today. Same thing. So that's why Paul says, listen, when you come to faith in Christ, it makes you new. So here's the central truth for this whole series that we'll be dealing with all month long. You see it here on the screen. Just as the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus made his followers new during Paul's day, faith in Jesus, talking about his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission today, still creates the same results, makes us new. A new person is born that is free from the destruction of sin, the limitations of religion, and receives life like God has it. This series will teach you how to thrive in relationship with God through Christ while identifying the expressions of religion so that you can eliminate their influence over your life. That's the central truth that we're working from here for this entire month. Today, though, we're going to focus in on a part of this, and it's what I'm calling your debt to me. Someone say that. Say, you're dead to me. Now, I like movies. So now specifically, you know, in like, say, like mafia movies and so forth and other particular movies, if someone in the family kind of, you know, violated the core principles of the family, you would see like the patriarch or the matriarch of the family then, you know, look at that other family member like, you're dead to me. You're no longer a part of our family. I begin to now live as if you don't even exist. Oh, watch this. You know, there's a classic, you know, a movie called The Color Purple. You know, and they just, you know, redid and made a musical, you know, out of it. But there's one character in there. Her name is Shug Avery. And her father is a preacher. But Shug kind of goes her own particular way. And because she goes her own way, her father won't deal with her anymore. He treated her as if she was dead to him. And one of the saddest moments in the movie is, you know, she had been out, you know, kind of, you know, a lot of loose living and so forth. And then she, you know, gets married to a particular guy. So she tries to come back to her father. And she's like, Dad, I'm married now. I'm married now. And he just rides by like she's not even there. You're dead to me. You're dead to me. They live free from the consciousness, awareness, and influence of this other person's existence. That's how they treated them when someone was dead to them. But this is an admonition for you and I today to relate to not people this way, but a certain way of thinking and approaching life. Here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. He says, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law." Law represents religion. Paul says, I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. He said, I don't frustrate the grace. For if keeping the law, watch this, living by religion could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. But I love Paul's declaration. He says, you know what? I learned that if I was going to live for God, I had to die to religion. I had to treat religion as if this is now dead to me. And listen, this is how he grew up. This is how he was trained. He's trained as a Pharisee. He's one of the most legalistic, watch this, law-abiding religious people in the community. But when Jesus comes in, his life, his death, and his resurrection, it changed everything from Paul's approach. And he recognized, I got to get rid of all of that. Not some of it, not most of it. I got to get rid of all of it. He says, the law and that way of living by religion is now dead to me. Now listen, since the time of Jesus, the church has struggled with this issue because the church was birthed out of an environment that was religious. The church came out of what we see in the Old Testament with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, David, and so forth, and they're following the laws, Moses. Come on now, you've seen the Ten Commandments. They came out of that environment, and it was difficult. Extremely difficult for them then to let all of that go. So there was conflict early on in the church around it. And as a result, they tried to make some particular allotments, but even then they still needed to hold on to some of it. And through the course of the years, the church now being, you know, over 2,000 years old, has still struggled with the same thing. We want to keep an element of religion. And listen, Jesus changed everything. And he expects for you and I to relate to religion as if it is dead to us. Now, what does that mean? Let's get into some points. You cannot effectively live in relationship with God until you choose to become dead to religion. You will never effectively live in relationship with God until you choose to become dead to religion. Why is that? Because if you don't die to religion, you'll always have this sense of guilt that's always going to taint, compromise, and diminish the efficacy of your relationship with God. You're always going to have those moments where you start to feel bad, like, I know, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And it completely ruins the relationship. Watch this. You get into relationship, ladies, you get into relationship, you know, with a guy, and you know, you think he cute, you kind of think he's fine. It's like, yeah, he's been working out, okay, cool. And then, you know, go out on the first date, and he's just like, I'm not worthy to be with you. Now, your ego may like that for a second, but the real you going to be like, this ain't the kind of man I want to trust myself with. Now, you might take advantage of him, which is the wrong thing to do. Why? Because, come on, ladies, I'm preaching good right here. You want a secure man. You want a secure man. Men, you want a secure woman. God wants a secure believer. He wants to be in relationship with those that are secure in who he's made you to be. In order to be dead to religion, you have to really clearly understand what religion is. Let me give you this definition. Religion, in a short sense, is law-based living. That's what it is. It's law-based living. It represents humanity's pursuit of righteousness, morality, goodness, and a clear conscience by focusing on the performance of good and noble deeds. That's what religion is. You're focused on, you know, for me to be right with God or to be right, you know, in the eyes of people, I have to do these good things. And when I do these good things, then I feel better and people look at me, you know, nice, like I'm a wonderful person. I got news for you. You're wonderful the day you were born. God made you wonderful. Your sense of being wonderful is not tied to your performance. That's what religion teaches you. God says, no. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And the things that we would call issues and, you know, so forth, like, you know, Lord, God, help me. God said, I knew about all of that, and I love you just like you are. Oh, my goodness. Thing you have to understand about this definition of religion, this focus and this pursuit of righteousness or morality or goodness, this is true whether you perform the good deeds or not. So whether you do it or you don't do it, it's still true because it's how you focus. It's how you, you know, live life. Let's understand a little bit more about religion. The term religion comes from a combination of two Latin words, re, and lego. You put those together, re, you know, just simply means again, you know, like you're repeating something, you know, again. You know, a lego means to bind, you know, to bind or put into bondage. So when you really put these two compounds together, the term religion literally means to bind again, to bind anew. Well, who wants to be in bondage? But every day, and even right now, sadly, in church buildings all over the planet, people are being reinforced into bondage. And we're calling it holy. This is what's really being good. No, that's not what Jesus came for. He changed all of that. That's how they live. He changed all of that. And the church has been scared to go all the way with Jesus from its inception. It's always wanted to hold on to this sense of religion. Religion is all around us and is almost impossible to terminate. I told you I like movies. One genre of movies that I really don't watch are horror movies. I watched, you know, when I was growing up, I kind of watched a couple and I was like, why am I watching something to terrify me? Now I get it. Some people find it entertaining, funny, so forth. Hey, that's your business. For me, I was like, whatever. But with these horror movies, and there was one in particular when I was coming up called Jason. Was it Friday the 13th? Come on now. I think they made like 12 of them things. And what was the significance of Jason? Was that every time you thought you were done with him, they thought they was done with him, he'd pop out of another room. And see, that's how religion is. Every time you think you might be done with it, or you know what, you know, I don't do that. I'm in relationship with God. I challenge you, be careful, because it's all around us. And that thing will pop out of a room in a heartbeat. You start hearing that music, be like, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. glory. Listen, religion is a fundamental part of society and the church. And this hence is the problem. As a result, the human psyche longs for religion because our minds thirst for control. We want to be in control. And religion gives the illusion that we have the wherewithal to determine our right standing with God, that we can control it. I do the right things, God's going to be happy with me. God's happy with me. I'm holy, I'm more, I'm wonderful. Look at me. Religion teaches us that we can make ourselves righteous. You can't do it. It's an illusion. Watch this. In society, laws, judgments, and personal beliefs are used as the focal point and are the standard of what is good, noble, and moral. So for a person who would say, I don't believe in God and so forth, they will have an affection and affinity towards, you know, the laws of our land. You know, be a good person. You know, do good to other people. So these are the things that they focus on in order to qualify as being good. It's part of our society. It's entrenched in there. But unfortunately, it's entrenched in the church as well. Because in the church, commandments and principles are used as the focal point and are the standard of what is considered to be good, noble, and moral. So if you're doing, you know, the good things to do, you know, if you are abstaining from fornication, oh, you're a great person. If you wind up getting involved in fornication, oh, I guess I'm just a sinner. Now, let me add this little caveat. Am I advocating behavior, you know, that is detrimental to us? No, I'm not. But I am trying to help you shift your focus to understand Jesus changed everything. And when he changed everything, he did away with religion. This law-based living did away with it, praise God. So understand this. Laws, judgments, ordinances, personal beliefs, commandments, or biblical principles were never the intended focus for Christ, the gospel, or those who are to follow him. Do you understand this? Laws, judgments, ordinances, personal beliefs, commandments, or even biblical principles were never the intended focus for Christ. Now, I know that kind of sounds a little strange, but Jesus is having a discourse with some of the most religious people in the community at the time, Pharisees, and he makes this statement to them, which is very, very revealing. And he says this in John chapter 5, verse 39. He's talking to them and says, you search and investigate and pore over the scriptures diligently. That's a good thing to do. He says, because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them. Let me say this. Because you suppose and trust that you will be right and good through them, through the scriptures. Jesus says, and these scriptures, these very scriptures, testify about me. And still, you are not willing but refuse to come to me so that you might have life. Watch this. Be good. Be in right standing. Be righteous. Oh, you mean to tell me? Wait a minute. The crux of what makes you good is not whether you can obey every particular scripture and every commandment and edict that is laid out in the Bible, but it's about you coming to Jesus. Jesus looked at these Pharisees and says, so you're doing all of that religious activity and you think that's what's saving you. He says, that's not what saves you. He said, what makes you new is the one you're rejecting right here in front of your face. Religion over the centuries, though, has always wanted to go back and say, yeah, but we got to do something. That's always the mantra of religion. You got to do something. Religion will always create new laws. I find it amazing that we are constantly, as a country, I'm not even going to talk about you, the rest of the world, but just as a country, we're constantly introducing new bills to create new laws and new ordinances. With the mindset that if we do this, it's going to fix the problem. It's just like, how many laws and bills are you going to pass when you can, you know, come to recognize that that's not what's going to make a man or a woman faithful and have honor towards God and people? Laws don't do that. Are there anything wrong with laws? No, but watch this. You don't have to live your life focused in on that. Oh, boy. There are no laws, ordinances, commandments, or judgments that will make humanity faithful and righteous. A person becomes faithful and righteous through their connection and relationship with God through Christ. That's how you become faithful and righteous. Watch this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Catch this. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Full stop. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says this, not by obeying the law or following religion. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God. Because our faith in Christ. Not because we have obeyed the law, watch this, follow religion. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law, following religion. No one will ever be made right with God. No one will rise to a place of satisfactory morality by trying to follow every do and don't that our society creates. So even for individuals that maybe you're watching or maybe you're present, you're just like, well, I really don't even know if I believe, you know, in God, you know, in the first place. But watch this, you still have some set of kind of morality, some particular things that are guiding you that you think if I do this, you know, more, I'll be a better person, I'll be a good person. You're in religion, you just don't have any God conscious. But you're still in religion. Let me help you with something here. I want to show you, you know, a breakdown and difference between religion and relationships. I think this will help you. Because everyone who would consider themselves to be the church has to understand this foundational truth that I'm teaching here now. And I will tell you this, the overwhelming majority of the church does not. The overwhelming majority of the church says, yeah, I hear you, but we got to do something. Religion always focuses on do's and don'ts. Come on. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. That's what religion focuses on. Relationship with God through Christ focuses on him who made you new. Someone say that's Jesus. Oh yeah. That's what relationship focuses on. Got a savior. He's our future. He's our hope. Religion is extremely hard on yourself. That's one of the ways that you can know, and I'm just going to put it out here. So if the shoe fits, just wear it, tie it up, and then burn it later. But one of the ways that you know that you are trained and steeped in religion is that you beat yourself up constantly. I mean, you come down on yourself like nobody's business. And it shows sometimes because you take that out on other people sometimes. But at the end of the day, you are just like, ugh. What's wrong with me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing other than the fact you've just been duped by religion. Someone say, I'm getting free. Relationship enjoys the grace that you have received. Religion does good to earn and prove something. See, I helped the hungry. See, I'm a great person. See, I gave to this. I'm a generous person. That's what religion does. It's doing these things to try to prove something to yourself and other people. But relationship does good because you're loved and forgiven. I do this because of how much has been done for me. Religion goes to church to be good and spiritual.
Well, you know, I was taught you should go to church. I got to go to church. I felt bad. I missed last Sunday. Oh, I just feel so bad. So I'm going to go this Sunday so I can feel good and spiritual.
But relationship recognizes that you are the church and you gather together to fulfill God's dream. That's what relationship recognizes. Religion gives because it's the right thing to do. Come on, I tithe. I pay my tithes. Okay, first off, number one, this ain't FPL, so cut that out. Not paying any bills. But individuals will give because, well, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Or individuals will give, watch this, because they think they're going to get something back from their giving. That's all religious mindset, too. But in relationship, you give because you're grateful and you want others to experience God's goodness, too. You're just grateful. You give out a sense of gratitude. I wouldn't have anything, God, if it wasn't for you. And I'm glad to be able to give and provide, you know, for some others to be able to experience the same goodness that I've been enjoying from you. That's what relationship does. Religion forgives because you're supposed to. Oh, boy. Now, I know I got some folks present and some folks watching at home that you understand the significance of forgiveness, and it's just like, you know, it's the right thing to do. I'm supposed to do it. That's not why you forgive. That's what religion does. Because at a certain point, if the person just keeps messing you over, oh, you'll figure out something else that's the right thing to do. Well, now the right thing to do is for me to hit you in the mouth. That's where your mind will try to take you. Relationship begins because you've been forgiven. So you're just giving away what you've received. Religion repents because of guilt and condemnation. You feel bad. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Relationship repents because of reverence for the one you serve. Father, it's never my intent to break your heart. You've been too good to me. So watch this. Repent doesn't mean feeling sorry anyway. Repent means literally to turn. To turn. You were going this way, and it means you turn and you go in God's direction. That's repentance. That's repentance. So here's how we're going to, you know, wrap up on this morning. Because I just want to lay a quick foundation. What is your card of choice? What is your card of choice? Now, the first card you see on the screen is a debit card. Most of us in here probably have a debit card. With a debit card, what's the significance of it? You're required to make deposits first before the card has any value. When the bank issues you that debit card, it's worth nothing if you got nothing in the bank. You can't conduct business until there's some money in that account. It's really like, watch this, the spiritual concept of karma, where you must do good first to receive good later. That's not the way of relationship. But here's another card for you. We'll find out what your card of choice is here in a moment. Is that credit card? Ooh, that credit card. I remember being a freshman in college, and I don't even know what bank it was, but they sent me a credit card. And you couldn't tell me I didn't have a free $1,000 in my pocket now. And I said, well, dear God, come on, hey, you know, got my friends together, let's go eat. Come on, I'm going shopping, I'm doing all kind of stuff. But you know, and I know, credit card come with some strings. With a credit card, you get the benefit on the front end. So it's different than a debit card. Debit card, you got to make some deposits. Credit card, you don't have to make no deposits. You get the benefit on the front end. Soon as you activate that thing, go to work. You can conduct business as soon as you activate it, but what, but, you must pay it back. And oftentimes, yeah, it's with interest. Now listen, God didn't loan us his forgiveness and then demand that we repay it with religious fervor and activity. Watch this, good deeds and moral, you know, acrobatics, trying to just work out, you know, things to then pay back God. That's religion. That's not the way of relationship. And then understand this about interest. Interest represents the unnecessary expense we pay when we go after a benefit that we technically couldn't afford at the time. Or in a spiritual sense, it's the hardship, frustration, and cost associated with a benefit we acquire without following God's counsel. Sit and meditate on that one. Or, watch this, maybe the debit card, credit card doesn't work for you. How about this one? How about this one? How about a gift card? How about a gift card? With a gift card, watch this, you get the benefit on the front end with no obligation on the back end. It is completely unearned. It requires no upfront payment or repayment once the benefits have been enjoyed. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So the question now becomes, and let's put these up side by side now. What's your card of choice? Is it the debit card? I'm diligent, and I'm fine. I'm gonna make my deposits, and then I'll know I'll get good things in return. Okay, interesting. Is it the credit card? Just like, yeah, that's fine. I'll do it, but I know I gotta pay it back. I gotta pay it back. I gotta pay back what God has done for me. What's your card of choice? Now watch this. Some people would choose that credit card that you see on the screen because it's got a $5,000 limit. Like $5,000? I got $5,000? I got $5,000 I can go spend right now? You got $5,000 you can go spend right now. Sure do. Debit card got nothing on it until you put something in it. But then you got that gift card that's there for $1,000. It's worth 20%, you know, per se, someone would tell you, of the credit card. Which one is your card of choice? Now here's something to keep in mind. Religion is oftentimes presented as more attractive and socially valuable than the simple relationship with God through Christ. However, it is actually far less valuable, and it serves as a means to enslave you. See, to some, that credit card looks more attractive. I can spend $5,000. Yeah, but you're gonna repay $5,000 at least. And if you're not disciplined, you may actually wind up paying back $6,000, $7,000, $10,000. Why not take the $1,000 that you didn't have to do anything for, and you don't have to pay anything back? Can you buy as much as the five? No, you can't, but you don't have any strings attached to you. Catch this. Relationship with God is gift card living. Someone else paid the cost while you and I get to enjoy all the benefits. That's gift card living. Jesus paid all the costs so that you and I can enjoy all the benefits. And when you're enjoying all the benefits, you don't have to pay anything back. That's gift card living. So I want to challenge you. Give up on debit and credit card religious living. Give up on that. This is one reason why, you know, I stress so much about it, like our growth track, like, you know, to help you really kind of stimulate and reinforce a proper relationship with God. Because for so long we've been duped into religion. And religion will even try to, you know, convince you that you don't need to do anything else. You're fine. Just keep following your spiritual patterns. It's like, no. This thing runs much deeper than that. Jesus changed everything. So I want to extend unto you today a gift card offer. We're getting rid of the debit and credit card living. That represents religion. It's dead to us. But the gift card offer is this life of God through his son, Jesus. Notice what Paul says here in the book of Titus. He says, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. See, when you come to God through Christ, you've been made right in the sight of God. And it's not anything that you can do. You can't earn this in any kind of way. It's just a matter of receiving his gift card. He says, I've already paid for all the benefits. I love getting a gift card. Just like, man, I don't have to do anything, watch this, but go spend it. Yeah, once it's gone, okay, it's gone, but I don't owe anything, you know, now on the back end. God's extending unto you today a gift card where he wants to see you come into a place of relationship with him and not religion with him. And get your focus off of trying to perform your way to be a good person and embrace the reality that he's already made you this good person. So that's you. If you're here or you're watching online and you've never come into relationship, this is what you hear me talk about every week, coming to relationship. This is the crux of it. If you're going to live in a relationship, you got to be dead to religion. And listen, society and unfortunately even the church a lot of times is going to continue to try to encourage you to religion. Resist that, resist it, and embrace what God has done for you.